G'day world, Chris Hogan and Andrew Grote coming to you live from Me Media Studio here at Burley Heads for episode 91 of Get Fact Up. And today we're talking about social media video in 2018, giving you a bit of a report, an update on that this mid-year. How you going, Andrew?
Yeah, good. How are you?
What are you smiling at me for?
Something off screen.
Okay. Very good. So let's start off with a little... several facts and stats we found around the traps on the internet. And according to HubSpot 2018 survey, 81% of businesses are using video as a marketing tool, up from 63% and in HubSpot's 2017 survey. So that's no surprise to us, I suppose.
It's no surprise, but considering the power of it, I think it's still catching on slowly. Mm. We're seeing sort of a momentum pick up here, but... only 20% from last year. Well, we're going to go through some other stuff in the stats here, but adoption is starting to happen now.
Great. So on that same report, 97% of marketers say videos helped increase their users' understanding of their products and services. So, and then 76% say it helped them increase sales. So obviously the marketers are using it for educational purposes, mm-hmm. which we know is very important, mm-hmm. so that, you know, what are people watching? Why are they watching it? It's got to be educational, inspirational, or entertaining. And that then they're possibly using even the same video or a cut down version or another video to help them increase sales.
I think the versatility of video is just, it far outweighs the other formats, I think is a big thing there. And then what you can convey with video also far outweighs the other formats. People can just sit down and watch a video, you know, like there's no no real involvement you have to have, as opposed to an article or an infographic or something like that, which requires like time.
I get you.
Which requires time and thought put into it. But, you know, if you're watching a subtitled video, you can just sit there and digest the information like that.
Which brings us to the next point, closed captions, otherwise known as subtitles. So people get a bit confused, but they are called closed captions. So let's get that clear. And in this survey, which is, I guess, the most astounding figure I've ever seen on closed captions, it says 98% watched video with closed captions on. This was a survey of 165 people from 3playmedia.com. So... that's huge. The most common stat is the next one. Do you want to go through that one?
85% of video on Facebook is watched without sound, which we kind of had that idea already. But 76% say that they needed the sound to be understood.
Yeah. So this is stats from Facebook. And, of course, I'm consuming video everywhere with captions on, and it's not just limited to people with hearing difficulties. I find that sometimes there might be an accent or language being used, or maybe I'm just tired, and I want to make sure I get the gist of the conversation that's happening on the video, or the movie for that matter.
I think the big thing there is Facebook requires captions. Basically, because they don't play videos with sound natively. So that's the thing people are missing there. You should be getting captions done.
And the only reason Facebook aren't pushing, you know, that everybody get captions, the only reason Facebook aren't pushing it at the moment is because their automated captions, their AI, isn't up to scratch yet.
Well, it's virtually non-existent. I mean, I've used the automated captions and most of the time nothing happens, as opposed to YouTube, which, although it can be quite hilarious in its automatic captioning, is actually pretty accurate. I mean, it gets like probably 75%, but every now and then it'll get a name or a location or a business name or something like that wrong.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Facebook's just not there yet.
Definitely not. So you have to go and get your closed captions produced elsewhere, and then you got to burn them into the video, or upload them as a separate file on Facebook.
Just when we're saying burn into the video, I think that's probably something people wouldn't understand, and it's something that we've only just realized is a better way to do it. So when you're uploading a caption file, it'll have the closed captions as a separate thing that overlays onto your video content, whereas burning them in is where the captions are already in the video that you upload, which kind of takes all the confusion out of it. Then you don't have to worry if people have turned the captions on or off. Just create a separate little spot under your video where captions are problem solved.
Yeah, and you've allocated a space for it, and that means that you keep that in mind when you're producing your content. So that's what I was just saying before about it's not just the hearing impaired that are using closed captions. ABC actually did a survey as well and said that more than 6.5 million Australians use closed captions some of the time while watching TV.
I always do.
Yeah,
I love having them on. You just understand more.
Absolutely.
What captions are. I don't think that's for everyone, but
I think it should be for everyone because you know there's plenty of people out there that don't read books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that don't feel like they have time to read books. Well, isn't closed captions a way for people that actually read and listen and learn at the same time? And isn't that the best way we've known? Multimedia has always been the best way to absorb information.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple senses, auditory, visual, touch, if you can, but maybe not in the video sense. So at least audio and visual. And if you're reading the captions as well, then you're really, you know, you're really digesting that content, you know, much, much better. So, yeah, I actually, yeah, a bit disappointed when something doesn't have closed captions.
Yeah, I tend to ignore it. I mean, I don't turn sound on when I watch stuff on Facebook anyway, unless it's really interesting, and then I'll go back to the start and turn it on. But most of the time, I'll just be skimming past and taking it in, which I think most people do.
Yeah, and there's certain ways, obviously, you can't convey sound via text. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people are going to turn sound on for that. But so that was, I guess, a bit of a mix-up of the social, you know, video in as a whole and how social as a whole would use it. But we've been having a lot of fun on LinkedIn lately. And we've been testing all of the different shapes and sizes that LinkedIn's allowed us to test.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we've all seen Square Video working really well on the likes of Facebook and whatnot. But you know, it does work really well on LinkedIn too, organically. But everybody needs to stick to 1920 by 1080, which is the standard wide format for sponsored content. So. But including captions there also hugely important, and they don't. So because LinkedIn don't have that capability to upload that separate file like Facebook and YouTube do, then essentially you have to burn in the captions like we just mentioned. Yeah. What's the next one, mate?
Okay, so this was an interesting thing that I pulled out from the original report we're talking about there. So video content engagement far outweighs the engagement of other formats like text or photo or something like that on social media. So what I pulled here, the two graphs, this is for the content relating to Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, which has been a huge topic in the last year. This is for the last 3 months. So 5% of the videos posted equaled 30% of the shares. So if you can think about that for a second, it was only 1,138 videos posted, but it was 100,000 shares out of the total 300,000 shares. Mm. And we've seen this with all of our clients and things and people we know that video content always far outweighs the shares and engagement of other content formats.
Absolutely. And depending on which way you're producing that content, it'll get shared more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can go on and on and about that.
But that just... kind of validates the fact that we were saying before that video is the easiest digested content. So people are more likely to be like, oh, that was cool, I'll share that. Whereas if they have to think about it for a bit and then they might be like, I don't know if my friends and family will get it.
Exactly. So I guess coming back to, you know, how people consume content and what you were just saying there, you know, obviously everybody does engage and consume video content in a better way, but there was still, you know, plenty other room for other content. And generally speaking, video content is, you know, the most expensive to produce, the most time consuming to produce at the moment. And so, but, you know, you put your closed captions in and someone ends up on your webpage or whatnot to go through a blog. for example. So you've got your video there, but they've only got 30 seconds. So what are they going to do? Are they going to watch a 3-minute video, or are they going to skim text content that exists on that page?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to skim an infographic on that page? So content marketing is obviously the number one choice when marketers are choosing to produce content. Content marketing is the number one choice for marketers. But breaking down the content consumption barriers for consumers, I think, is hugely important. You have to have that variety of content, even on the same blog, on the same landing page, versus just relying on one piece of content.
Yeah, for example, something that we've found works really well is having a summary video that we release on social or something along those lines that then supports an article, a multimedia article ideally, that goes in more depth to that video than that video does, because we know that most people won't watch a video much past a minute.
Mm.
So if you can have a really nice, concise summary that entices people to read further, and then the full recount of that, whatever you're talking about there, is in an article, like a multimedia article, on a link beyond that.
Yeah,
it's kind of the best way to do it. Yeah,
and that's a good point you made about people watch times. We don't have the stats up here, but we have shared them previously. So, you know, I believe that from Gen X to Y, the actual time, the average amount of time people watched video was actually, or the attention span went from 12 seconds to 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And but on average, we know that about a minute and a half, from our own experience, minute and a half is pretty much the ideal time to be producing a video for.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are producing a longer video, then giving a summary of what the video entails at the very beginning or in the comments. Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
Is hugely important.
It's something we've always said, is get to the point immediately. Don't stuff around with introductions and things like that and sort of work your way and be coy getting to the point. Just say, this video is about this, and then continue. Far more likely to get retention by doing that. Even if you're not getting to the point immediately, just tell people what the video is about or the content's about right at the start.
Yep. And like I said, you don't have to do that on the video if you don't actually know where the content is going. You're being a bit ad hoc, but you can do that in the comments on all your social threads.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's a video about this.
Mm. Beautiful. Well, I think that's all for today. Thanks very much, everybody, for watching. This is Me Media's Get Fact Up show. We've been producing this for nearly 2 years now. We're at episode 91, 100's coming up. So we're going to give you a wrap of what we've learned from Get Fact Up for all of you to listen to at episode 100. So stay tuned for that. Thanks very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
See you guys.
See ya.